Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Sunday, the 29th of March. I love it. I love people. The old Tamala catch-up debate yesterday, and I had a little WhatsApp message saying I'm arrogant. Everything I do is right and correct. Yes, it is. If we understand that, then we all move on nicely. Fancy taking time out with what's going on to worry about shit like that. See, that's what I love about stuff like this. People have got the British sense of humour has gone. The old everybody gets their knickers in the twist in an outrage there. But yes, I told you it was a fact. So don't worry about it. You don't even need to respond. Don't worry about it. I've done a poll. An old Lord Dio said, let's have a poll. I've done a poll. 89% of people agreed with me. Perfect. There you go. Job done. Marvellous. Welcome to the bet slip presented by me and Winston today. Winston's helping out. Sam's upstairs getting ready. We're having the old roast turkey, brined it yesterday. That is out now, getting up to room temperature, ready to go in the oven. Bit of salt, bit of peppercorns, red, pink, black, bay leaves. What else do we have in there? Coriander seed, a couple of star anise, everything in there, all lovely. So that's been brined all full 24 hours. And we are ready, but I'm keeping Winston control because we are then having a house party session with my family from Oz. So Sam is up making herself look beautiful. They'll have rung and flipping gone by the time she's done that, mind. Yeah, fancy getting your knickers in a twist over a bit of brown sauce and not being able to identify that a lot of what I say in the podcast is a load of old bollocks, honestly. There, if you're taking it that seriously, you need, I mean, fancy letting me know as well. I mean, what did you think was going to happen with that? Did you think I was just going to say, oh, he's right there? Of course I'm not. I'm going to dig you out on the podcast. You're making trouble for yourself. What's the matter with you? Honestly, I won't give you his name because it's too embarrassing for him. He needs to go and give himself a good head wobble in the old mirror today. I know we're under stress, but honestly, get a grip, man. A little slurp of coffee. And then I said yesterday, I'm making ribs, didn't I? An old Dio fired back. Got to have the old slow cooker. No, you haven't. No. What? So nobody without a slow cooker could have ribs ever again? We couldn't have ribs before slow cookers appeared? No, got to have a slow cooker, otherwise it'll be tough and chewy like you do. What's the matter with you? Not everyone's got a slow cooker. What, we just rule those people out of society, get rid of them? Haven't got a slow cooker? Sorry, son, you cannot have any ribs. That's why I like the Rovers side of Bristol and not the city, because they keep coming out with nonsense like that. So we had lovely ribs. Let's do the recipe of the day, and it is ribs, and we'll just solve the tenderising meat problem. The first thing you do with your ribs is you parboil them. That's what you do. See, and what that does, three things. One, it helps tenderise the meat. Two, there's a sinewy bit when you eat a rib that connects the meat to the bone. It actually helps to break that down so that the meat comes off the bone quicker. And it also removes a layer of grease and fat so that when you are cooking them, you don't get that in your sauce. So you get a nice non-greasy sauce. So parboil them, bring it up to the boil, salt and pepper in the water, put the ribs in, salt and pepper them, cover them in water, so you need a big pan, parboil them, get the water up to a boil, then turn it down to a simmer. Simmer them for 10 or 15 minutes. You've now got some brownie ribs that are starting to tenderise. Lovely. Right, we're going to make the sauce. This is so simple. Bit of soy sauce. There, I know a lot of you like this thick, glazy, horrible sauce. Horrific. There, this is a beautiful little sauce. This is, coats them all. I marinade them in this for a good 2-3 hours. So like half a bottle of soy sauce, a good lashing of Worcester sauce. I did tell you how to make your own version yesterday if you want to, but a good couple of 2 or 3 tablespoons of Worcester sauce, some white wine vinegar, a good dollop of honey, because that gives it that little bit of stickiness. Couple of teaspoons of the old ketchup. This is something you can use ketchup for, not putting it on your flipping breakfast. Save it for this sauce. Sherry, this is one of the key ingredients. Doesn't have to be anything flash, but a good 3-4 tablespoons of sherry. And then pineapple. Get a tin of pineapple chunks, or if you buy the rings, cut them into chunks. Open it, get the juice in the sauce, and then just get the pineapple into chunks. The pineapple's going in with the ribs. The pineapple cooked in this, it doesn't taste like pineapple. It tastes absolutely beautiful come the end. So You've got your soy sauce, your Worcester sauce, your ketchup, white wine vinegar, good dollop of sherry, honey, and your pineapple juice. Get all that mixed around in a bowl there. Put the pineapple chunks on top of the ribs and then coat the ribs with the sauce completely. Make sure it's fully coated. Toss them over in it, in the fridge. Get them marinating, good couple of hours. Again, helps with the tenderizing of the meat. When you're ready, take them out, let them get up to a bit of room temperature. Never put meat straight in the oven when it's cold. Let them get up to room temperature again in the oven, low, 130, 140 for a good couple of hours. While they're in the oven, tin foil over the top of them so that you're not charring the sides of them. So just tin foil over the top. Remove the tin foil for the last half hour. Couple of times, take them out and turn them, remove the tin foil for the last half hour, and that will just crisp up the outsides a bit. When you remove them, little parcels, tin foil parcels with corn on the cobs in with a knob of butter, get them in the oven, put the ribs down low, corn on the cobs up the top, serve it with a bit of coleslaw, and I like to make some potato wedges. Literally, don't peel them, I just cut the potatoes into wedges in a roasting tin, drizzle over olive oil, good sprinkling of dried herbs, whatever you've got, mixed herbs, oregano, rosemary, whatever it want there. Toss them in the oil and the herbs, get them in the oven for 30, 40 minutes as well. So ribs down the bottom, wedges in the middle, corns at the top for the last 30, 40 minutes. Job done, take it all out and serve. Ribs, corn, and coleslaw and wedges. It is beautiful, lovely, lovely sauce. Honestly, I promise you, I absolutely love it. And and it's cheap as chips to make. Once you've bought the stuff for a sauce, you get two or three, four portions out of it, and the ribs, ribs are cheap as chips. So there you go, beautiful. None of that slow cooker nonsense required. Flipping up the Rovers, up the Rovers. What else have we got? I love it when people get their knickers in a twist about stuff. I posted a football picture, a couple of good debates, or not debates, chats on Twitter yesterday. I posted the little, there's a thing going around on Twitter about post nostalgia, one football picture, and I posted Gascoigne's free kick at Wembley. Led to a good discussion, but I enjoyed looking at some of the pictures. I mean, they're all over Twitter. One football picture, just things that you've forgotten in football, some sort of real standout memories, and that was the idea of it to trigger it. Old Ed U, Twitter, please. Stolen. Look there, because I didn't credit the right people. Bigger things to worry about, Ed. You're talking of flipping, shooting your flipping flatmates today. Relax, son. Relax. I know we're in a stressful, but this is driving people bananas. But if you are on Twitter, quite good to look back through those photos. There's a bit of text that you have to put at the top that they've asked you to do, and if you put that in the search, then you'll see these pictures come up. It's brilliant. Some real good ones back from the older days. But led to a nice chat just talking about players. The goal at somebody had asked me actually on WhatsApp a couple of days ago, what's my favourite ever moment at a football ground or best game I've seen day having the whole day, and it was the Arsenal Cup semi-final in 91 when Gascoigne scored that free kick, just the whole day. But obviously with that goal, beating your local rivals, absolutely brilliant. And then I spent yesterday, quite a bit of time yesterday afternoon, just reading around the sort of problems with starting the football back up. And don't get me wrong, I want football to start up tomorrow, we all do, but I just sort of was pointing out it's not as simple as that. It's not just literally a matter of get a date and start. There is so much entwined in this, with player contracts, wages, and commercial deals. I mean, the one I gave the example on Twitter, Liverpool are due to change kits from New Balance to Nike. And Liverpool and New Balance have already been to court. New Balance lost. And that was over changing from, but New Balance obviously are going to want the kit worn for this season because that was their deal. But the date that it runs out almost certainly won't be. So then Nike are going to want their kit. The point I was making is that chairman's appetites as this goes on, as they've got no income coming in, they can't sell tickets for next season. Season tickets, we were meant to have committed to our Spurs season tickets and that's been put back and other clubs have followed suit or done the same. And I was just pointing that it's so problematic that it's just going to be a massive mess. And I think the longer it goes on, the more likely is there'll be a clamour within the game to just call all this off and then move into, call it all off and move into a new fresh season with everything sorted. That again, you know, people rightly pointed out that as its problems. What happens if this, you know, has a second wave and we've started the next season and then we get into a similar situation? And obviously litigation with Sky Sports TV money, teams who want to go up. It's just such a mess to sort out. That was really the only point I was making, but it was quite an interesting sort of discussion. But when you, again, rather than following Twitter and absolutely no bias, somebody asked me what would I like to happen. Without doubt, if we can finish the season cleanly, it's best for everybody. I've got no, you know, Liverpool had won the title. I'm not only winding people up again. People get all up tight. It's only a flipping joke. But with what's going on, football clearly isn't the most important thing in the world. You know, it's, we're witnessing horrendous scenes, and this country is going to be horrendous for the next couple of weeks. In the UK, the numbers coming out, and people just don't get it still. You know, you see that food market yesterday. People are just, you know, all over the world, thick as mince, really is. I can't believe that everybody seems, I've said it before, wants to be told what to do. Why people can't look at things and think, fuck me, this is bad. I think I'm going to stay home. I just don't get it. But then you got people like Donald Trump saying, oh, 15 days we'll have zero cases. I think it just plays it all down. But that's another argument. Anyway, football's not the most important thing. But it is just such a mess when it's going to start up, and how we're going to deal with that. It's going to be really interesting to see unfold, because whatever way this goes now, the mess of it, the deals, the con. I mean, I think I read yesterday Spurs have got 4 commercial deals to finish that finish. I think 2 are on May the 31st and 2 are on June the 30th. And you just look and think, I know what Daniel Levy's like. You know, he's gonna be fighting his corner to get the best financial deal out of that. Obviously, the people on the other end of those deals are going to want theirs, and the football will become secondary. If he could write the season off and end that and remove all that, I'm certain he would. But yeah, it is going to be an absolute mess, isn't it? But, you know, I actually enjoyed it yesterday, having those discussions on Twitter. Normally I just post a load of old bollocks, I'm well aware. But no, I particularly enjoyed the Gazza sort of memories. They were great days, absolute great days, watching football. I went on and said, that's what I miss now. I used to get up excited to go and watch Gascoigne play, or Ginola play, or Modric play. I don't get excited about watching Harry Winks, I have to say, or any of them, to be honest. Heung-min Song gives you a little bit of spark now and then, but he's missing a lot of the time. But when he does go, he's brilliant. But they were just fantastic players. Klinsmann, Hoddle, Ardiles, Ginola, just brilliant. Gascoigne. And he scored my favourite ever goal, the one against the Jocks. I mean, it's my favourite ever moment at Wembley against Arsenal, and my favourite ever goal in football is Gascoigne's goal against the Jocks. Just absolutely flipping superb. Right, been waffling long enough. Right, the old turkey today. The old roast turkey there, my third Christmas dinner. Marvellous. Beautiful. Right, let's do the stat of the day. So I moved into the 2.5 market yesterday. I did a bit of talking about that. And I mentioned Adam, who supplied me with the turkey. And Adam, when I famously met him, and he told me there was goals in Holland. I'm just going to give you a little stat that may interest you. You see it on Twitter all the time. I know there's people listening to the pod who've posted bets in this league, and I'm going to do all 8 games. The Dutch Jupiler League, which is one that is famed for goals. The Dutch Jupiler League, over 2.5 back, there is one price point that makes a profit out of every bet that you would have placed over the last 2 years. There is only one price point that makes a profit, and that is 1.92 to 2. You have only had 6 bets in that price bracket, and you would have won 1.66 points. There is not another price point in the Dutch Jupiler League backing over 2.5 goals that makes a profit. And when you get into the main crux of the odds are 1.42 to 1.7, you'd have had 200, 500, 700 bets for a loss of around 40 points. There's one price point backing over 2.5 in the Dutch Jupiler League that makes money. So you would think automatically, well, if you can't make money backing, then let's go to the other one and lay it. So we're not going to back over 2.5. Let's lay over 2.5. And whilst there are a couple of points that make money, not really big enough to get you fully involved. So, for example, laying between 1.52 and 1.6, you'd have had 290 bets and won 7 points. Everything else is literally 1.2 point either way, up or down. So what do we conclude from that? Leave the fucking league alone. Leave it to the mugs on Twitter who post it. Don't need to get involved. The Dutch Jupiler League is a pretty efficient league on the over 2.5. There's nothing hidden. It's one of them where people expect goals. There's absolutely no chance I would ever be backing it over. You know, and even trying to back under is hard. You can back in under between 2.5, 2 and 6. 2.6 does win about 18 points. Between 2.5, 2 and 6, but it's just a league. Again, you don't really need to. When you look at the numbers in a table form, certainly would never be backing over. I would never be touching it with a barge pole. Don't need to. There's plenty of other football on. And the contrary of that, you'd think, well, okay, I'll go that way. It makes a little bit of money, but nothing to really get involved with. So just one that you can strike out in the over-under 2.5 market, as I say, and leave it to the Twitter mugs. The Dutch Jupiler League, over 2.5. Avoid it like the plague. Don't need to do it. I mentioned, had a bit of interest in the stuff we're putting together. I want to stress that nothing else is affected. You know, Ultimate will resume as it is. The trading will resume as it is. My current setup with my one-to-ones, and we're looking at automation things, that resumes. Just looking at levels of training in a better way to put on site, so webinars and videos and stuff like that. So I'm in the process of doing those at the minute, and they'll be for all different stages. At the minute, we're looking for, you know, small numbers just so we can get everything right. But the idea would be to roll this out over the next year for all levels over a period of time. But you know, all these things take work. So as I said yesterday, if anybody's interested in a sort of a close-knit, almost learning to do this on your own in a quicker space of time, then give Dave a mail, dave@ftsincome. But it's literally, I'm doing it everywhere, going through, you know, Suggsy's being, as I said yesterday, an absolute diamond going through Excel and stuff. We're just getting, it's a good time for me to get everything right. I think there's danger. When you're in situations like this, what we're going through, and it is totally unique, but any sort of hardship level or whatever's going on, people always tend to focus on what they can't do. Can't do this, or I can't do that, I can't go out and play golf, I can't do this, they're telling me I can't do that, and there is obviously a lot of that. You're much better off in life if you focus on what you can do. Try and think what you can do, and I took that approach when it was glaringly obvious what was going on, and you didn't need to be a fucking genius to work it out. You know, I am smarter than the average bear, but you don't need to be for this. You could look and see quite easily what was going on. Any form of modicum of reading would tell you where this was headed. And I sort of spoke to the people around me, Chris Spreadsheets, Suggsy, Dave, Art, and basically said, I'm not going to waste this time, just sit, I'm going to use it. What can we do? What can we do so that when we come out the other end, things will be much better? And that's basically what I would say to you, is try and think what you can do in this period, as opposed to moaning about what you can't do. And you'll be amazed at perhaps coming out of this with more knowledge, in a better place than you were, whilst it does seem like Armageddon. When you're sitting there worrying about, he's arrogant because he said brown sauce is better than tomato sauce. Fuck me, you have got something wrong with you. And while that, because I have got an art of not giving a fuck, the book of the day is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. It's a fantastic book. Mark Manson, a counterintuitive approach to living a good life, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And I genuinely am somebody who pretty much, when people send me stuff like that, don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks of me. You may all think, oh, he's big-headed, he's arrogant there. If you can't tell the fucking tone and context of what I say, you should perhaps fuck off and do something else. I'm not here to win. How to make friends and influence people. That's what my Sammy says to me. She says, you'd never win the old how to win friends and influence people, would you? And I don't try to. I know there's people who enjoy this podcast because they understand exactly what I'm about and how I go about things and how I say things. And if you don't get that context, there's fucking thousands of podcasts out there. Feck off. Fucking you're arrogant about tomato sauce. Get a grip, honestly. I've got all the best recipes. I've got the best recipes. I am the best. I've got the best words, the best jokes, the best books. I've got all the best. All the best stuff. I can't do his... I wish I could do his impression. I can do the hands. I've got the best. I can do the hands go out. Don't the hands go out? Hands go in. Make like okay signs. Absolute. What a cock. So there you are. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Really good book. Mark Manson. As I say... Build a list. I'm going to send a copy. I mean, if this goes on for 3 months, somebody's going to get 90 books. I'm going to do a book every single day. Build a list. Read them in life. As The Slight Edge says, if you read 10 pages of a self-help book a day, you will end up better off. But it isn't just about reading them. And I want to stress this. You know, a lot of people I've spoken, I've got a friend of mine years back. He was trying to be a golf pro. And he just had shelves of books and he read and read and read and he never got any better at anything. He had an absolute fucking car crash. He's the guy I mentioned on here about finances. Because he never acts on any of it. If you don't actually act on what they're doing, telling you or asking you to do, like The Slight Edge, if you read it, put it down, don't revisit any of what they're telling you to do. Yeah, it's a good book, but it hasn't done you any good. Ultimately, it's like everything. It's like punting, whatever. This self-responsibility, you've got to take some and actually do something yourself. Not, oh, I read that book, didn't do anything for me. You know, it's nonsense. Or, you know, we are just sheep-like, aren't we? People just do the same thing. That's why they don't win at fucking punting. You know, that's why they back over 2.5 goals in the Dutch Jupiler League, because it's just sheep-like. You've got to, if you're going to read these books and you're serious about it. And I've had one guy email me. Again, I'm not going to give names. I really want, you know, he's realised that what he does is dull, boring, doesn't want to do it. His life's living hand to mouth, almost doesn't like it. I want to change. That's fantastic. Can you help me? Yes, I can. But ultimately, if you're not going to help yourself, it's an absolute fucking waste of time. My time is just going down the toilet. So whilst these books are great, unless you actually act on what's going on, then nothing's going to happen. What haven't I done? Can't remember. Joke of the day. Joke. My jokes. I've got all the best jokes. I've got the best jokes. I tell the best jokes. I'm the funniest guy. I'm the funniest man. I've got the best jokes. What do you call a penguin in the desert? Lost. Yeah. Oh, Winston jumped there when I tapped. Sorry, boy. He's becoming a pain in the ass, this dog. What do you call a penguin in the desert? Lost. Even Suggsy will get that one. Even Suggsy will get that one. He's probably looking up to see what penguins live in the desert. I'll have him, he says. I love you all. I love you all. Brown sauce. It's the only way to go. I know our people coming up with other forms of brown sauce. Starting to throw. I mean, what was that old Scott Harvey was talking about? Flipping HP, son. I accepted the old Sheffield twist, a bit of fruity. But if we're talking sauce, HP. It's the only way to go. Get that. Flipping Simon Dennis, dead right. Flipping ketchup. Sauce of the devil. Right, done that. We've done the joke. We've done a little bit on the Dutch Eredivisie. We've done the book. I've told you all how it is with the sauce and the recipes. I think we're done. I think we are at a stage where I can leave you and go and cook a Christmas dinner, spend some time via video with my family in Australia. Looking forward to that. I think the boys, my nephews, are really looking forward to it. They like to see the entertainment from their uncle. So have a lovely, lovely Sunday. Done the ribs. Have a look at the photos, the football photos, if you're on Twitter. They are good. Some nostalgia. I haven't got a song for you today. We'll have one tomorrow, I think. I'm just going to spring them on you by surprise now. I don't want this. If I do sing along a Friday, people know the fast-forward bits. I'm just going to throw them in randomly. What we got? What we got? Feeling hot, hot, hot. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, that's good. See, the sun's come out. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Get in your gardens. Get up and dance. Enjoy yourself. I had a lovely little thing yesterday, actually. A little girl from across the road. Don't know them at all. I've never spoken to them. But the little girl drew Sam a picture and a little bunch of tulips and rang the door, put them on the doorstep, and was, when we got to the door, was running down the drive. What a lovely little touch. She just basically, obviously at home, and had drawn Sam a picture. Whether she knows that Sam, from other neighbours, that Sam is, you know, in this 12 weeks. But lovely, absolutely lovely. So then Sam said, filled a card in and put a fiver in it and went back. I thought, this is going to be a fun game. It's going to end up costing me a fortune by the end. The kid's now going to think, oh, I can get a fiver, a picture. We'll have one a day. But what a lovely little touch. Somebody I don't even know. But yeah, that made Sam's day. Nice little picture. Couldn't make out what it was. But girl was only 3 or 4, I think. But lovely. Right, that's me. I'm out of here. Have a lovely Sunday. Don't read the news on coronavirus because it's only going to upset you. We're in for a long haul. Read a couple of things today that have annoyed me already, but I'm not going to go into them. Crack on. Have a lovely Sunday. Joke of the day. Repeat it to yourself. Jupiler League, you've got that. You know how to make ribs, books. It's all here. I've got the best podcast. We've got all the best podcasts. Tell your mates to listen to this. It will sort their lives out. Have a great Sunday, and I'm off to do some Christmas dinner.